If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the love of the Christ. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is Vanishing Point, Living Beyond the Seen. So let's take a deep breath and ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life. Ask to be filled with the wisdom, the discernment, the power, and the glory of the Divine Spirit. Take another deep breath and just allow that anointing to fall down upon you. It's just like a mantle that comes to drape itself from the top of your head to around your shoulders. It's like a cape. And tonight we dedicate our session to the Holy Spirit, that we may be taught how to live beyond the things we have been taught are real. Because the things that are really real are the unseen realms. And the things that appear to be, we are now going to be taught to transcend supernaturally through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, who has come to take residence in each one of you if you have been born again from above. And I assume that many of you last week did avail yourself of that opportunity. And so this is your first lesson in learning to operate beyond the seen and to draw forward your abilities that you're meant to operate in now, which will transform this world and enable you to be in heaven, in the kingdom of God, and live on earth at the same time, but not be under the same bondage. And so again, just get a sense of the Holy Spirit indwelling you, looking through your eyes, operating through your hands and your feet, speaking the truth that is quickened through revelation in your mind. It's a new walk. It's a totally new way of being. So let me start out by asking you, how much faith and trust have you been exercising in your life so far? In other words, do you rely only on what you can see and touch and have as physical resources? Do you rely only on what you can do, control, and manage? Well, if you're like most people, you probably have to say, well, yeah, most of the time I do. That's where we're going to be probably tested the most, is learning to do it differently. How would that look? Well, you don't look to see what you can do. You see and look and become aware of what God can do through you when you exercise faith. And faith and trust is the exercising operative that actually draws into visible manifestation unseen things. So faith is not wimpy. It's actually the activation and the carrier, if you will, the divine carrier conveyance of the unseen, so it can be brought into visibility and manifestation. You might think of it as a divine elevator. It delivers what's above down to whichever floor you want to manifest. And as a multidimensional being, you're going to find that you use it all the time. In fact, faith is interesting. I work a lot multidimensionally and more or less consciously. And I have found that faith and trust, as far as I can tell so far, work on every dimensional plane and level, which is not true for most other keys. Most dimensional operative keys work only on that particular plane that you happen to be on. And then you move to a higher level, and you have a whole new energetic tableau to work off of. But faith and trust seem to operate on every dimensional plane. And they always call forward something that is way beyond your ability, way beyond your cleverness, way beyond your know-how, and always leads you with a sense of awe. I believe that's why Jesus said to let little children come to him and don't prevent them from coming to him, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So that childlike openness and sense of wonder is that purity of heart and that humility that a child has by nature before it's become conditioned, indoctrinized, or indoctrinated, I guess the word is. So let's see how we can begin to practice looking to that which is beyond through faith in the little things in life. For example, let's say you get in the car to go somewhere and it's, you know, you're a little off your timing. So you're concerned that you might arrive late. This is where you tell yourself that you're always in God's timing. And you affirm and see and know that you will arrive at your destination exactly at the right time. You can practice asking the Holy Spirit to extend the length of time if you need that, or to shorten the distance supernaturally. But once you have asked, completely receive it through faith, don't doubt it, and act out of that assumption that it's done. Now, if you're hastening to do your ministry, which could be anything, if you have that type of attitude towards your life, you will always be bridged where you fall short. Always. I don't care whether it's time or money or energy. You will always be given beyond, you know, when where you fall short. You will have that covering that will enable you to meet the demand, whatever it is. And you learn to rely on that. You never get angry or irritated with the flow of your life because you know it's always got a higher direction that's ordering your steps. When you have consciously placed yourself to be a vehicle and a vessel for the divine, to import the kingdom of God here on earth, just know that from that moment on, you are going to be living a supernatural life that completely transcends every form of physical limitation. So, we're going to be going into our lessons, as I had promised you, that have to do with operating in what I've called the glory realms. And I'd like to share with you about some of the children coming in, because like Jesus said, such is the kingdom of heaven, there's a whole group of thousands of these children being born all over the world now that come in to lead us. Now it says in the scriptures, we'll be led by a little child into this higher world, this higher dimensional version of the earth that we're going to be increasingly moving into. And these children come in already spirit-filled and prepared from the earliest childhood. And I'd like to share with you a little bit about a little boy by the name of Colton Burpo. I just finished the book that he and his dad wrote about his very conscious experience of being in heaven. And Colton was 3 years old when he died during surgery. He had a burst appendix for 5 days, and his whole body was filled with sepsis and abscesses. So he was given up as, you know, hopeless by the medical profession. But during that time, he had a very clear experience of sitting on the lap of Jesus and going to the very throne realm of God and seeing his his mother had a miscarriage at the 8th week of her conception, and Colton met this little girl who said that she was his sister that had died in the mother's womb before she got to be born. And his mother had never told him that he had a little sister. So there are just wonderful details that the little boy had to share that nobody had ever, ever talked to him about. Another thing, he was describing Jesus. And one day he walked up to his dad and said, "Daddy, you know what? Jesus has markers." And his dad didn't quite know what he meant by markers, so he said, "You mean like the markers that you color with?" And Colton said, "Yes." And his dad said, "Well, what color are his markers?" And the little boy said, "The markers that Jesus has are red." And then the father said, "Well, where are the markers that Jesus has?" And little Colton held up his little chubby palm and poked his little finger in the center of each of his little palms. And then he bent down and touched the tops of his feet. And he said, "That's where Jesus has his markers, Daddy." So Colton's dad realized that Colton was referring to the nail wounds in the hands and feet of Jesus from his crucifixion. But being a Protestant child, he had never actually seen a crucifix, nor had he ever been told about the gruesome details of the crucifixion of Jesus. So here was, again, this revelation coming out of this three-year-old child. And the other thing was that every time he saw a picture, whether it was in a storybook or on the wall or, you know, in Family Christian when they go shopping, he would say that the pictures of Jesus were not right, that Jesus didn't look like that. And he kept saying that with picture after picture. And finally he was shown a picture done by another child, and he looked at it for a long time. And so his parents by this time was used to asking him, "Okay, Colton, what's wrong with this picture?" But this picture that he saw was by the child artist, Akiana. And her portrait of Jesus was done when she was, I think, 5, could have been between 5 and 8, but I think she was 5. And he said, "Nothing is wrong with this picture. This one is just right." So another thing that he said that I wanted to point to tonight, because we're coming up to some really, really strategic points on the planet. In fact, September 27th is going to be that alignment with the comet Elenin or the guided celestial body, whatever it is. And we're going to have that major alignment of these planets and celestial bodies. And some have said that that could, you know, unleash a series of different Earth change events. And goodness knows we've certainly had our share here in the United States, and I'm sure throughout the world, although we don't get always the news about other countries and what they're going through. But I think this year and last year have been the worst years ever in terms of the Earth changes here in the United States. So Colton said that he saw a big war happening and that his father would be fighting in it. Now, his dad, you know, is probably in his early 40s, so for him to fight in a war, it's going to have to probably be pretty soon. Some of us believe that we're in, prophetically, the time of Ezekiel in the 38th and 39th chapter. So that might be a clue. But anyway, he saw this war and described it. And the way he described it, it sounded very much like what is described as the battle between Christ and his angels and his saints against Satan and his fallen angels and demons. That's depicted in the book of Revelation. And that war, he said, would rid the earth of all the bad people. And it's interesting because many, many of these special children have described this very war, and that the earth would be cleansed of all the bad people. And when the children were asked, well, who are the bad people, they would almost without exception say, the people who don't have love in them, who don't have love in their hearts. So there's a whole group of these special children who are the prophetic voices of what they foresee as our immediate future. And their visions and testimonies all seem to portray the coming of a red planet. Well, Nibiru, if you've seen one of the NASA photographs of it, is red. And some of these children call this their planet and refer to the people on the red planet as their people. I also thought it was interesting, I'll speak about another red planet, that the latest rocket booster, who's that's supposed to be, I think, completed by, was it 2015? I think 2015 or 2017, somewhere in there, would be capable of carrying people, actually, to Mars. So already, I think, they're thinking about recolonizing Mars, if necessary. But that's just kind of a sideline here. I just happened to notice that today in the news. Oh, another thing, very interesting, the European Union Times, at their own newspaper, mentioned, and I read it just briefly in a link that was sent to me by someone today, that President Obama has been ordered to be in that underground bunker underneath the airport in Denver on September 27th. Isn't that interesting? So anywho, these little things sometimes come flying, excuse me, across my desk on the days I'm going to do shows. And it kind of lets me see how these different things are lining up. Because things line up in the physical, but the physical is always the end result of things that are happening in the unseen, higher dimensional realms. And we have been trying very hard to keep that many of the scenarios from actually coming down upon the physical earth, and we've been trying to work them out upon the astral plane so they don't have to precipitate. And, for example, the Second World War was never supposed to be upon the physical plane. But it was the war in the heavenly realms that finally had enough truly evil people to anchor the negative energy into the physical. And thus we had the the Great War, which includes the First and the Second World Wars. So same thing for the Third World War. We've been working to keep that from precipitating into the physical. And we're still working on that. I think we're not going to give in on that. But anyway, these little kids were foreseeing, and, you know, maybe it shifted, but they all described a terrific battle between the forces of good and evil and tremendous earth changes where many people would die. And they mentioned that the ocean levels would rise and cities would be submerged. And some of these children were living in these same cities that they saw going under the water. But when they were asked if they were afraid, they would say no, because they know that, you know, only the body dies, that they're eternal spirits and they don't die. So that was an interesting little aside that I wanted to share with you, because nothing is impossible with God. And many of us have incarnated specifically as the warriors of light, as the guardians of the light, so that the kingdom of God can be established upon this planet and we can move into the global reign of the Christ. Not the Antichrist, not the Illuminati, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming very soon. I received the prophetic word myself from him directly in 2004, and it's been published in a lot of places, so I won't go into it. I think, in fact, I did a show on it a year or so ago. But bottom line, he said, I'm coming, but my people aren't looking for me. They aren't expecting me. And if they're not watching for me, I will have come and gone, and they will not even be aware of that. But they'll find themselves left behind in a world of chaos and destruction. So I believe he was referring to the calling away of his people prior to the major earth changes and the war of the, you know, if there is going to be a war. I believe that we'll be called out of the earth before that happens. So I'm going to share some really wonderful information from a book called Gazing Into Glory. Gazing Into Glory. And it's by Bruce Allen. And I highly recommend it because he's a man that has been given the job directly by the Lord Jesus to go into churches and begin to teach people how to operate beyond the seen and the visible supernaturally. And he mentions many of these children, and I quote from his book, I have been fascinated over the last few years to personally hear testimonies from a number of nations regarding children who are being brought into this realm of revelation and interaction with the third heaven. The third heaven in Christian speak refers to what they understand as the highest dimension of the celestial realms. These young children don't have all of the worldly mindsets to unlearn, nor do they have the religious indoctrination to overcome. And there comes forth a purity of heart and expression as they relate their experiences and the communication of heaven to this generation. From these pure, unassuming vessels, we are hearing of incredible acts of faith. For unknown reasons, when we met a number of these children a couple years ago, all of them had their first experience at 8 years of age. This book, by the way, that I'm reading from was just published, so that was, you know, it's pretty much up to date here. All of them had their first experience around 8 years of age. So as I sought the Lord about this, I heard him speak to my spirit. It is a season of new beginning. And the number 8 in Scripture speaks of resurrection and new beginnings. And these children are being caught up into the third heaven and are given the word of God for their families, for churches, regions, even for the entire body of Christ. on a number of occasions after their experience, they can quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Can you imagine that? Quoting the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation? Supernaturally? So there's a common theme that has been expressed to every one of them when they share their experiences, and it's this: Jesus is coming sooner than we think. On Rosh Hashanah, October 18, 2009, while ministering in Perth, Australia, this is Bruce Allen speaking, I had a visitation from the Lord myself. One of the things he said to me was, "Tell my people I come shortly now." I cannot express in words the yearning in those words. Jesus is longing to see the fullness of his inheritance, the church, be complete. You know, most churches don't have a clue about this dimension that they're meant to operate in. I keep going around hoping that I'll find a church where people are actually practicing these things that I'm sharing with you each week. They are out there. They are scattered throughout the world. But you don't encounter them as much as you should. I mean, this movement of the Holy Spirit should be absolutely number one in every church. But for some reason, it's not, which is really sad. So anyway, and I'm continuing from Bruce, from his book, Gazing into Glory. The second phase, Jesus told me, was that at some point you are actually going to teach people how to physically translate, like Philip in the Bible was translated. This man, Philip, was translated 30 miles. He was being baptized, and then the next time he vanished and he appeared 30 miles away. And Jesus said, "So my word shall be preached throughout the earth." So my first inclination, this is Bruce again continuing in his book, was to see if I could find any testimonies in our generation of translation, because there's tons of them in the Bible. To my amazement, I discovered that there have been individuals who have come forward with testimonies of being supernaturally translated, not only into the heavens, this would be what I've called soul travel, but geographically around the world. And one of the most astounding testimonies is of a pastor in Russia. This was told by Bill Brim. If any of you watch Gloria Copeland, sometimes Billy Brim will be on her program in the morning, and they'll talk about some of these things. They're just incredible women in God who have really, really seen some magnificent, miraculous works of the Holy Spirit. Anyway, Billy Brim, who is a friend of this pastor and his wife, I assume is the one that's told Bruce about this, because I remember the story myself. Anyway, it's about a pastor in Russia who ministers in three different churches every Sunday morning. And the interesting thing is these churches are hundreds of kilometers apart. So he will minister in the first church at 8 a.m., complete the service, go into his office, and at 10:15 or 10:30, he will supernaturally be caught away to the next church. In other words, he will translate, he will bilocate, he will dimensionally relocate his body, like I sometimes have been speaking about, and he will minister, and so forth, until all three services are complete, and then he will translate home. He does this every Sunday. That's astounding, don't you think? And when he says translate, he is speaking about what most of us have been thinking of and understanding as physically bilocating from point A to point B, supernaturally, through the power of the Holy Spirit, or, if we wanted to be really, really precise here, the operation of the epikinetic body, or the epikinetic body, which is an extenuation of the light field and the operational abilities of your astral body. So when it's operating by the Holy Spirit, probably it is at an even higher level than Dr. Hertak has described in his books, The Keys of Enoch, but I'm not sure about that. So, another really fascinating story that Bruce Allen mentions in his book is about an African man by the name of Richard from Kenya, who was told one day by the Holy Spirit, pack up your bag and go to the airport. I want you to go to London, England. And Richard said, yes, sir, and he packed up his suitcase and went to the airport. When he got to the lobby of the airport, he put his bag down and said, now what do I do, Lord? You see, he had no money, but in faith, hello, faith, he had done exactly what the Lord told him to do. The Lord said, pick up your bag and go into the men's room and go into the third stall on the left. So he took his suitcase and he went into the third stall on the left, set his suitcase down, and awaited further instructions. And the Lord said, now lift up your hands and worship me. So Richard began to worship the Lord at the top of his voice, right there in the middle of the men's room. After a few minutes, the Lord said, okay, now go. And he picked up his suitcase, and when he exited the men's room, he was in the foreign nation that his assignment was in. This is a man just like, you know, right now, hello, today. These sort of things are happening. They're happening a lot in Africa, again, because the people are so full of faith and they're so prideless, you know, they're so egoless, and they don't have all this Western indoctrination in their heads. Most of them are saved, you know, from, you know, having no knowledge at all of Christianity. And when they're saved, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're, you know, they just operate in this childlike faith. So I'm continuing on a little bit more with what Bruce Allen has written in his book, Gazing into Glory. And he says, mainline Christianity has difficulty with the supernatural because so many of them have never had a supernatural experience, or they have been told that God no longer does these types of things. We are also not the students of the Word, capital W, Bible, that we should be, and we have difficulty in believing that when the Lord says something, we can take it to the bank, so to speak. It is truth. And he quotes Jesus here. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. That's a quote from John 14th chapter 12th verse. So we have the privilege of doing these greater works because he was going to the Father. And in examining the works of Jesus, we can look at his life before he was resurrected and after he was resurrected because he made no distinction. He didn't say that he would just do the works that he did before the cross. He said, the works that I do, you will do also. Why would that be? Because right now he is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I at this moment. The works that I do, you will do also. So what is this intercession? Again, it's bridging our inability through to perfection with his supernatural ability. That's why you never have to be concerned about failing when you operate out of faith, because you are always bridged through to perfection. And continuing on with one last portion here, Bruce is speaking here. I have a DVD, on DVD, a testimony of a man by the name of Brother Grubbs, who from 1950 through 1987, which was the time of the interview, supernaturally was carried by the angels of God around the world for years, and he ministered all over the globe. Once his assignment was finished, the angels would bring him home. The stories he tells and the adventures in God that he had are powerful, and needless to say, they got me excited. Paul Harvey, an icon in American news, wrote an article in 1951 about a man who appeared in the United Nations and then disappeared. And Brother Grubbs talks about what happened that day and how the Lord connected him with an angel in the United Nations. So we have to challenge our faith and begin to believe the Lord for the fullness of our inheritance now, not at some later date or in the great by and by. We've got to believe the whole Word of God, not just the part we're comfortable with. We've got to dare to step out on the water, if you will, and say, Lord, if it's in your Word, then I want it. Whatever it is you have, Lord, I want it. So, this is what we are being called to do by the big boss man. And that's what we're all about in the Ashtar Command, is fulfilling the will and the teachings and the directives of the most radiant one, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so after you have been born again, and I assume all of you who listened last week are in that category, the next thing for you is for Jesus to specifically baptize you with the power and glory of the Holy Spirit. And you ask him to do that. The Holy Spirit lives in you automatically the minute you are saved. But there's a special endowment of power that comes upon you when you are immersed more deeply into that anointed power. And the testimony and proof that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, almost without exception, is that you'll begin to speak in a heavenly prayer language that the Holy Spirit causes you to speak, sometimes spontaneously, and sometimes you need to start praising God in any language but English, and then the Holy Spirit begins to fill that with its own momentum and power. The only time that that doesn't happen is when people are not taught that that is part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and many denominations don't speak about it. And therefore, if you don't know that you have it available, that's why so many of those churches are dead and they don't have any power. Because unless you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you just don't have that warp speed to activate. You don't have any power and boldness to really do the things that Jesus is expecting you to do. But once you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to keep stirring up your gifts. You have to keep stepping out and using your abilities. And like I said before, if you're called to minister healing, start laying your hands on people and praying for them to be healed. Not out of your own power, but speak the word of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I release the kingdom of God into you in the name of Jesus. Be whole in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. You know, ears open, deaf ears open in the name of Jesus. You know, these things are happening every day now. Young people are out there doing and ministering in these higher gifts, but they're for everybody. They're not just for the young. They're for everybody. So start stepping out and exercising your faith. And you'll find that the more that you do it, the more you begin to get that flow going. And once the flow is established, it's, you know, you're just like you're set on fire. You just have to keep, you know, stepping out and doing more and more and more and more. So the next lesson for all of us is how to operate beyond the limitations of the physical dimension. And your human lower self and your ego mind have brought you as far as you can go. You need a major upgrade from now on. And that upgrade comes as you're born again, as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, as you're connected to the divine circuitry. And now you need to activate your warp drive. which is stepping out through faith and trusting, you know, trusting that whatever you need will come forward as it's needed. And again, I have operated that way for years, and it has always worked for me. I bilocated once. I'm really eager to learn how to do it more. And so I'm learning along with you how to go deeper in the operating of those gifts. I have had experience of times collapsing, of time being lengthened, of having supernatural ability given to me beyond where I thought I could possibly operate. I've experienced people being healed under prayer. I've had quite a few experiences. But with this dimension of life, there's always the next. There's always more. And so I'm hungry for the more. I'm hungry to be all that that Christ has intended for me to be, just the same as you are. So now we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. You're actually clothed with righteousness, which when you are seen on the inner planes and you're a born-again person, you can be identified because you're wearing a seamless white garment. Now, you can see the difference between a person who is resurrected and operating in their spiritual bodies and those who are in their white garment, because the resurrection glory of Jesus is different than the white garments that are seamless that we're wearing as born-again people on the inner planes. But when Jesus calls us up to be with him at the time of the rapture, the great gathering or catching away, at that time we will put on the resurrected body, which is exactly like the body of Jesus. It's exactly beyond age, beyond death, beyond any kind of taint of the fall. And so that will be the bodies that we will wear into eternity. And some people call these the ascension bodies. But it's basically the same idea. The difference is people who are trying to ascend are trying to do it through themselves, their own efforts, whereas the true bodies of light, the resurrected bodies of light, are divinely given through our interaction with Christ. And they are supernaturally gifted to us, and that has nothing to do with our works. That's the difference between the lower powers working out of the psychic and material realms and the higher powers of the Holy Spirit, which I've spoken on a number of seminars. So just know that you have been made the righteousness of Christ. You are pure, you are holy, and you are righteous. The very instant you ask Jesus to wash you, redeem you, cleanse you, save you, come into your heart, take charge of your life, you became righteous. And your salvation has restored you to the kingdom of God, to your kingdom status and citizenship, and all the rights that are due to you and the abilities that are due to you. So what we're talking about here are your natural kingdom abilities. And the endowment of these kingdom abilities has been referred to in the scriptures as putting on Christ. Christ means the anointing. So when you put on the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which would be to say the supernatural empowerment of the miracle-working abilities of God's divine Spirit, when you put that on and you're clothed with it, you're gradually brought from glory to glory, which means degrees of entering into this higher kingdom, if you will, of energetic participation and manifestation. And you're taught to operate beyond the boundaries and limitations of the physical in lower dimensions of time, space, density, and distance. In other words, you are now hardwired and connected to that same miracle-working power that operated through Jesus. And you will now be led by the Holy Spirit into new ways of seeing. Seems like the two things that change most when you're born again is the way you see things and the way you speak. And because we need to learn how to speak the word into limitation, and the word then activates the revelation of the miracle. We need to actually know the word of God in order to speak it. But since very few of us are going to have much time to be biblical scholars at this late stage in the game, we're going to have to hope that the Holy Spirit begins to do the revelation like they did with the little children who could, you know, speak from the first chapter of the Bible to the last through divine inspiration. We'll probably have to rely on that one. So we're going to be taught a new way to function. And we are the most fortunate generation because we are the one that's destined to be used to reveal the supernatural miracle working works of God. And there are people, again, I remind you, who have been forerunners of this supernatural ability, who have already been living from this higher state of awareness and manifestation, for years now. I've told you about Heidi and Roland Baker and Iris Ministries and how they have to depend upon everything they have in their African ministries in Mozambique and throughout Africa. They have to depend on God for everything. I don't care what it is. Everything has to come from God, or they don't eat, or they don't have, healing and health and, just everything. So these folks are operating by the Holy Spirit, which is also called the Shekinah glory of God. That would be the actual term that's used in the body of Christ is the Shekinah glory. Shekinah is the term for the Holy Spirit. And again, that is not the same as shamanic or magical or yogic power, because all of those things come out of man's abilities, working out of his biophysical and mental psychic energy fields by his own efforts. So that is not the same. No, this power that I'm talking about comes directly from God. It's free. It's a gift from God. It's bestowed by God and has nothing to do with your own works or your own anything. You can't control it, you can't manipulate it, and you can't direct it in any way. And that's why the Holy Spirit is much different and, of course, far superior to other power. So the power of the Holy Spirit comes only upon those sanctified vessels who belong to Christ completely and are wholly yielded to his leadership. What does sanctified mean? It means to be set apart for a sacred purpose. And you begin to prioritize that being called apart and separated, called out from the world. We're not to conform our lives to the world and the world's belief systems and the world's standards or to pop culture or to anything. We are to prioritize pleasing God and operating as the Holy Spirit directs us, not as some belief system in the outer world is trying to direct us. We learn to be inwardly led Holy Spirit, and in that way we become, like Jesus, a son of God with a capital S. So, or you can, for the sake of a word picture, put on Christ. I kind of got the idea of like putting on your Superman cape or your Superwoman cape or your outfit. You can use that as a visual as you like, because the word symbology in the Hebrew is just that. It's like putting on a garment, because you are literally being clothed with the glory and power of the Christ. So again, from now on, your operative keyword here is faith. And faith is what gives the invisible spirit substance. Faith actually causes substance, form, and manifestation into this world. That's why when you're operating from the spiritual realms, you have to always activate manifestation through faith. Not through affirmations. Nope, different. That's back to your psychic stuff again. It's through faith. In other words, when you ask for something that you know it's God's will for you, you can have every faith to know that it is given the minute you ask. The minute you ask, it's given. It shows up at the perfect timing, in the perfect way. You don't always see instant manifestation in this world, because here everything has a time factor that accommodates the divine will, but in a sequence order that fits into your life in just the right way without causing shock or fear. Now, the pure-hearted, open-minded, trust and faith of a child is what we're looking for, who believes all things are possible. I think the biggest single block for a grown-up person is the prideful belief that we have all the answers, or that actually we know anything. You know, we get vainglorious in thinking that we're We know so much. We have these answers. We've gone to all these seminars and workshops, and we've been doing all these practices, and, you know, we get so full of ourselves that we're too full to be useful to God. We're just too clogged with our own agendas. So that's why, you know, I believe that one of the characteristics of being born again, at least in my experience, is that I really felt like a newborn child in a sense. You know, many, many, many years of teaching and writing and counseling and doing workshops and all that stuff. But I became totally new, totally different. And there was a sweetness that came forth and an innocence that had nothing to do with me. It was just my true divine nature coming out and revealing itself. But it felt sweet and innocent and pure and brand spanking new. So from now on, you're going to be taught to trust and rely on and yield to the invisible. How do you do that? The Holy Spirit speaks to you with an inner impetus, an inner inspiration that always questions, it always transcends, again, what you feel you can do. It's always bigger than you. And it's always always involves the betterment of others. You learn to live an inside-out life. In other words, you become, you're out there to serve other people. That's your whole agenda. It moves from a me focus to a we focus. And the Holy Spirit is that inner divine power. It's so bold. It's so direct. It's so clean. It's just a clean directive that flows through your speech, through everything you do. There's no guile, no deceit, no agenda, no doubt. It's just clean and pure. So the Holy Spirit will teach you how to operate as a Christ. You will be taught to be Christ-like. Your Christ-like nature will be activated and quickened and empowered and energized to flow through you. So it affects every area of your life, because like Jesus, you will be God's visible image upon earth. You're made in His image and likeness, and you're designed to be His very image and likeness upon the earth. And you will be showing forth the miraculous power and glory of your divine nature in all ways, but ways that honor and magnify Him, not you. It's like you decrease and He increases. And you as a separate doer, that part of you just decreases. And you just live to be a vessel and an instrument for this higher nature to flow through you. So faith steps out into the unknown, confident that the needful will appear as necessary. So from now on, you increasingly learn to rely on what God can do. Now God will use your abilities, your knowledge, your everything. God will use you and what you've got as a platform of operation here, but it's not limited by that, which means it's not passive. You always work, live, and teach at your highest level, but you keep pushing the envelope and stepping out in areas where you don't have a clue, about anything other than this is what needs to happen here, and this is what is rising up within me as an impetus to address. Sometimes I ask God to blurt out of my mouth if I'm supposed to say something to people. And that's exactly what happens. The blurt will happen. But it's always a beautiful and orderly blurt. You'll notice when the Holy Spirit operates through you, there's beauty, there's eloquence, there's excellence. It's never something that dishonors you or parades the flesh or or anything of that nature. It's always a supernatural ability that reminds others of God and God's presence. You know, it just, it calls forth, you know, what I've often referred to as that great stag in the forest kind of presence that surrounds you, the glory surrounds you. In fact, it was said that Charles Finney, when he would walk into a town and pass by people, they would fall down on their knees and start crying out for salvation. He was a great evangelist, by the way, about 100 years back. And, they used to cry out for salvation, just his energy field, the glory that he carried. You know, the people in the book of Acts, if you want to read some exciting stories, read the book of Acts where the very shadow of Peter and Paul and Silas and the apostles, just the shadow falling on people would heal them and deliver them from demonic oppression. Their very atmosphere brought wholeness and healing. Everyone was healed that they interacted with, the same as Jesus. So faith is actually what calls forth from out of the invisible whatever we need to be supplied and to happen or to be visible. And that's why Jesus said to take no thought about what your material needs are, what you'll eat or what you'll drink or wear, because God knows you need these things and will cover your needs just as he does for all the other living things in nature. But we are to instead seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. In other words, seek first God in this higher way of living and thinking and being, and then all else will be supplied. And that is what it is to be a kingdom ambassador. When you're an ambassador of the nation of God, that nation, which is God's kingdom, supplies everything else. So be an ambassador of the kingdom, and all else will be supplied. So let's go out chanting Yeshua. Deep breath. Yeshua. Yeshua. God bless each one of you, and I send a blessing of impartation to stir up that mighty gift that is waiting within you to be released through your faith. And may you walk in supernatural ways this week that's going to transcend anything that you've done before. Just practice it. Have fun with it. Companion with the Holy Spirit and Jesus, and see what wonderful things he can do through you. And God willing, I'll be with you next week. Adonai.